Good morning, everyone. Well, it looks small now with all the children gone out. But it's great that they're starting Sunday school again. And let's remember the teachers and those in charge now as they teach the kids. It's such a responsible position. And we'll pray for them in a moment. This morning, we come to our final, essential. I'm sure there are many other essentials, but of our nine essentials that we've been looking at in our summer series of nine essentials for the follower of Jesus. Excuse me. From Ken Noakes' book, Christian Essentials, we've used the headings, and some of the material from that book has been very helpful to me in my preparation. So the eight essentials, revision time, we've covered are salvation by grace, God's word, the Bible, prayer, witnessing, suffering, membership, relationships, and giving. And to wrap up our essentials for the follower of Jesus today, we will look at the essential number nine, service. That is serving the Lord. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 38. Acts 20, 17. Well, it says 13 in the bulletin, but we'll skip down to 17. It means I don't have to read some names that I can't pronounce. Acts 20, verse 17 down to 38. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you are among whom I have gone about teaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and can give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. They grieved them. What grieved them most was his statement that he would never see his face again, that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would bless these words of yours and these words of mine, that they will be from you, Lord, I pray. Pray for the children in Sunday school, Lord. Bless the teachers and help them as they teach them. Help them to be attentive and to hear your word. And pray that they would turn their lives over to you, Lord Jesus, and follow you all the days of their lives. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. It was to the Apostle Paul, and it was going to be his last time with these leaders of the church of Ephesus, who traveled to Miletus in response to Paul's invitation to come and see him. What did Paul have to say to these elders, these leaders of the church at Ephesus? He talked to them about service. In verses 18 and 19, he reminds them how he lived while he was with them from the very first day, and how he had served the Lord with great humility and tears, and amid severe testing by plots of his Jewish opponents. Paul tells them he doesn't know what will happen next, but that he has been warned by the Holy Spirit that prison and hardships are facing him. Yet Paul kept on going despite all these warnings. Why? Because in verse 24 he tells us that his only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given him, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace in verse 24. Paul was preparing these leaders of the church of Ephesus who had served down the years to be ready to be able to serve just like him. In verse 27, Paul says, "I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." He reminded them that they were shepherds of the church which he had bought with his own blood. Church of God, which he had bought with his own blood. He warned them that when he was gone, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Even people from within their own church family would arise and distort the truth and draw disciples after them. Paul warned us to be on our guard. Paul reminded these leaders that he had shown them the way to serve, and how he had served would be an example amongst them. He had not let silver or gold or clothing distract him from his service. In everything he did, he showed his by his hard work how he must help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus that we recalled in our Essential on Giving, where Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," in verse 35. And these Ephesian church leaders saw in Paul the kind of service that the Lord Jesus himself demonstrated to us. The Lord in Matthew 20:28 spoke of how the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. And that includes you and me as followers of Jesus. In John 13, Jesus shows true humility and service as he washed the disciples' feet, you remember. This was a lowly task, and not one expected to be performed by the rabbi or teacher. Peter was so embarrassed and initially refused to let the Lord wash his feet. But Jesus said, if he wasn't allowed to wash Peter's feet, Peter would have no part of him. Like Peter, we need to accept by faith what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus in humility washed the disciples' feet. Jesus in humility went to the cross. He came to serve and not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are fully washed clean of our past, present, and future sins when we trust in Christ and what he humbly did for us on the cross. And we are reminded by this act of humiliation, by Jesus washing the disciples' feet. We see in that his humility. I trust that each one here this morning has put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he accomplished for us in dying in our place on the cross. If not, I urge you to come to the old rugged cross. Come to the Savior and surrender your life to him. Jesus continues in John 13, 14 to 17 by saying, now that I, after washing the disciples' feet, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed, Jesus says, if you do them. Serving the family of God, serving the local church. Just looking through this month's Westside Bulletin, I counted 36 different names of people in the church, serving in different and various roles throughout the month of September. And there are others serving in various ways and not mentioned in the bulletin. I was thinking of things like the musicians and putting up these overheads that they don't just come together like nothing. Well, that isn't the bulletin, but I didn't even see what the flowers are this morning, but they're beautiful. They're such a blessing to us. These little ministries that so touch our hearts and are so part of our church here. And it's such a blessing to have so many of you serving in this local church in so many ministries, and we praise God for every one of you. You know, the world says, take what you can get and make sure you look after yourself. But God says, in love, find ways to serve others, even if it costs you. We need to remind ourselves, as we started out the series of the essential that the essential is salvation by grace alone. We are saved by grace and not by good works. But after salvation come good works, service that God has for each one of us to do. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, we know these verses, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, that is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." And then verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance for us to do." In these couple of verses, Paul emphasizes the order. First, salvation by grace alone. Salvation is a gift from God. We can't boast about it or take any credit for it. As a gift, it came at a great cost from the giver, God's one and only Son, who died for us. 40 years ago is a long time ago, isn't it? Well, it is for me. Maybe for some of you it's even longer, or some of you not so long. Here, 40 years ago, a significant birthday I had, and this present was given to me. It's a cross pen. And they cost in the region of 70 euro in today's money. I looked it up earlier. And the person who gave me this pen, and they engraved my name on it and all, with a name and a date, was a person who paid the price for this pen. But it was given to me at no cost. It was a gift. Now, I could have responded in different ways to this gift, couldn't I? I could have said, "No, thanks, I don't want it." That would have been rude, wouldn't it? Or I could have accepted the gift and then forgotten about it and put it away in a drawer, gathering dust. Nice pen, but it wouldn't have been used for what it was intended for. It wouldn't have made a difference in my life. I could have abused the pen and mistreated it. I could pull staples up with it, or I could do things that it wasn't meant for, or what it was not made to do. But of course, what I did, I accepted the gift. I thanked the giver, and then I used it as intended, as a pen. It's had a few refills, but it's a really, really useful pen. So this is an illustration between grace and good works. God gives us many gifts, but his best and most precious gift is the salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And you know, people have different reactions to God's wonderful gift of salvation. Many don't see the need of it. They reject both the gift and the giver. They're a great loss. Others take the gift, but it makes no difference in their lives. They hide it away. Still others misuse the gift and get all legalistic. And it's all about the outward, but little or no change inward. And then the appropriate response, accepting God's gift of salvation and using it as intended, thanking the giver and serving him for his glory. Excuse me. "For he is our Savior and we love him, showing fruit in our lives and Christ-likeness as we grow in him and become more like him." Jesus in John 15, 16, talking about the vine and the branches, he says he has appointed believers so that they will go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Loving efforts that will draw people to Jesus so that they may enjoy eternal life with him. That's the fruit that will last for eternity. How is that done? It's done by serving the Lord. Right throughout the New Testament, we have writers urging believers and churches to do good deeds that will bear fruit. For Colossians 1:10, Paul prays that the believers will live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Corinthian church were instructed to give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58, and to abound in every good work, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Timothy is told to teach believers to do good, to be rich in good deeds, 1 Timothy 6:18. Titus is to tell those who have been redeemed and purified in Jesus Christ to be eager to do what is good, Titus 2:14. And then he is to call them to devote themselves to do what is good, Titus 3:8. Hebrews 10:24 calls on believers to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And in James 2:17, he says that faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We as followers of the Lord are called to service, and that is an essential. Like the Lord, we are to serve for the glory of God, not to be served, but to serve. Use the gift that you've been given in a way that serves God and others. Bear fruit for the Lord by calling people to Jesus in both word and deed. Thinking of our local church here at Westside, how do you see it? Is it a place where you come to praise God together with other believers? Is it a place you come to hear sermons or a place you come to meet with God? Yes, these are all valid and good reasons to attend your local church. But I wonder, do you consider church as a place where you serve? You are to contribute to the ministry of the church. We're not consumers of that ministry. We're contributors. We need to be motivated to serve. And here are three motivations from Scripture that urge us to serve in our local church. The first one is God's mercy. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 say, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As we remember what God has done for us in Christ, we should offer our lives to him, our bodies and our minds, our whole selves, sacrificially in humble service to the body of Christ, which is the church. Our love for the Lord, who is in his great mercy gave himself for us, should be our primary motivation for service. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved." God's mercy and grace, God's kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So, God's mercy is the main and first reason. Another reason is your spiritual gifting. Because as we read on there in Romans 12 and verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." We each have different gifts that Paul mentions here, and there are many more as well. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. And this isn't an exhaustive list. There are other lists in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. These mention gifts like administration, discernment, healing, tongues and interpretation of tongues, wisdom, helps, knowledge, evangelism, hospitality. Seek to be humble, faithful stewards of the gift we've been given by God, and they are to be used to bring glory to him and to help and encourage others. Your gifts are not about you or for your benefit. They are to be used for the building up of the body for the glory of God. So that's God's mercy, our spiritual gifting, and thirdly, the return of the Lord Jesus. And over in Peter tells us in chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, he talks about the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sobered mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. When the Lord Jesus returns, he will reward those who have served him. The kids have been thinking about that there this morning. We should be engaged in effective prayer, earnest love, gracious hospitality, and the wise use of our spiritual gifts. Thinking about Christ's second coming should motivate us to get busy serving. May this help inspire you to serve here in our local church. As verse 11 says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus. To To him be the glory and power forever and ever. So what does this service that's acceptable to God look like? Well, our best example is the Lord Jesus. Just after the two disciples looked for privileged positions in heaven, Jesus tells them in Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus uses the word servant and slave to describe what followers of Jesus' attitude should be like. Jesus demonstrated this very attitude himself. He came not to be served, but to serve. In the Lord's eyes, the essential for the follower of Jesus is seen in the way they serve. And three aims we should have in this final essential of service as followers of Jesus. Firstly, serve the Lord in a way that gives glory to him, to God. In however you serve, it should be in a way that gives God the glory. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, talking about, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The driving purpose behind serving and our service should cause people to offer praise, not to the doer of the serving, but to the Lord. Colossians 3:23 and 24. I think we've heard this verse already. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. All should be done in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God." So as you decide about how to use your gifts and energy, some good things to ask are, Will this serving bring glory to God? How can I do this work of service that will draw attention, not to me, but to God? Many acts of service that we do are not seen by others, but they are seen by God. Secondly, serve the Lord in such a way that others may give glory to him. Look at ways to serve others that are not believers, so that you may be witness to them and a link drawn to them to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Christians were often the first in days gone by to establish hospitals, schools, and charities as they reached out to serve communities. They were often the first to give their employees better working standards and even housing. Companies with a Christian ethos back in the 1800s made the well-being of their employees a priority. They were the first to introduce welfare officers who looked after the needs of their workforce, and they had a medical officer with regular medical and dental examinations for their workers, unheard of in those days. And this because they had a Christian belief. As you make decisions about how you use your gifts, time and energy in service for the Lord, think about this. Can I serve the world around me in a way that will open doors for people to consider their relationship with God? How can I make a difference in the lives of those around me who don't know the Lord? And then thirdly, serve the Lord in a way that helps other Christians give glory to him. How we may spur one another on to live for the Lord Jesus. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 4:10-11. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." So we are called to use our various and different gifts and skills that God has bestowed on us to care for those in the family of God, the local church. This won't always be convenient or easy. It'll take time. It'll take energy. Yet that is what is asked of the followers of Jesus. Notice that this verse reminds us that God gives the strength to help carry out these works of service. The church, both local and universal, is a good place to serve. Westside has many and various ways in which you can serve as followers of Jesus. As mentioned, we have so many involved in serving and noted in our bulletin, and this is so amazing and such a blessing. Maybe you're not one of those who serve here regularly at Westside, and there are ministries that are stretched for helpers that we could do with. Please come and talk to us as elders if you would like to be involved in serving with us here. We would love to have you with us and to serve with us. Be passionate about using your gifts and skills to build up the body of the Lord and to minister and encourage to those within and outside the church. If you could be up front or behind the scenes, it could be either way, but all are necessary. Our prayer is that the Lord will motivate each of you in service for him in many and various ways, because that is an essential for the follower of Jesus. The job of the leaders of Westside or of a pastor when we appoint one is not to do all the works of service ourselves, but it is to equip and to encourage all the followers of Jesus in our church for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Ephesians 4:12. This is an essential for the follower of Jesus, service. I trust and pray that this series on essentials for the follower of Jesus over these past summer months have been a help and a blessing to you, as it has been to me. May the Lord bless you each one as you live for Jesus and grow to be more like him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we see in your Son, the Lord Jesus, how he came not to be served, but to serve. Help us each one to have that same attitude, that same mindset of our Lord Jesus, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but each of us to the interests of the others. Help us each one in our service as followers of Jesus, that we may build one another up and bring glory to you. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sing a closing song. It's called The Servant King, number 162. From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. And if you look at the last verse, it says, so let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Let's stand and sing this together.